You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. On today's podcast, I just want to talk quickly about Thanksgiving. So I want to start with this. Just a basic understanding of Thanksgiving. The celebration we now popularly regard as the first Thanksgiving was the Pilgrims' three-day feast, celebrated in early November of 1621. The first Thanksgiving to God in the Calvinist tradition in Plymouth Colony was actually celebrated during the summer of 1623, when the colonists declared a Thanksgiving holiday after their crops were saved by much-needed rainfall. Now, just a little bit of background here. The Pilgrims left Plymouth, England on September 6, 1620, sailing for a new world that offered the promise of both civil and religious liberty. The Pilgrims had earlier left England in 1608, as the Church of England had curtailed their freedom to worship according to their individual consciences. The Pilgrims had settled in Holland for 12 years, where they found spiritual liberty in the midst of a disjointed economy, which failed to provide adequate compensation for their labors, and a dissolute, degraded, corrupt culture, which tempted their children to stray from the faith. For almost 3 months, 102 seafarers braved harsh elements to arrive off the coast of what is now Massachusetts in late November of 1620. On December 11th, prior to disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact, America's original document of civil government and the first to introduce self-government. While still anchored at Providence Harbor, their pastor, John Robinson, counseled, "You are become a body politic, and are to have only them for your governors, which yourselves shall make choice of." The Pilgrims were separatists, America's Calvinist Protestants, who rejected the institutional Church of England. They believed that the worship of God must originate in the inner man, and that corporate forms of worship prescribed by man interfered with the establishment of a true relationship with God. The separatists used the term church to refer to the people, the body of Christ, not a building or institution. As their pastor, John Robinson, said, "When two or three are gathered in the name of Christ by a covenant made to walk in all the way of God known unto them as a church." Now, upon landing in America, the Pilgrims conducted a prayer service. They quickly turned to building shelters. Starvation and sickness during the ensuing New England winter killed almost half of their population. But through prayer and hard work, with the assistance of their Indian friends, the Pilgrims reaped a rich harvest in the summer of 1621. Most of what we know about the Pilgrim Thanksgiving of 1621 comes from original accounts of the young colony's leaders, Governor William Bradford and Master Edward Winslow. In their own hand, they began now to gather in ye small harvest they had, and to fit up their houses and dwellings against winter, being well recovered in health and strength, and had all things in good plenty, for some were thus employed in affairs abroad. Others were exercised in fishing, about cod and bass, and other fish, of which ye took good store, of which every family had their portion. All ye summer there was no want, and now began to come in store of fowl, as winter approached, of which this place did abound, when they came first, but afterwards decreased by degree. And besides waterfowl, there was great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many, besides venison, etc. Besides, they had about a peck a meal a week to a person, or now since harvest, Indian corn to production, which made many afterwards writ so largely of their plenty here to their friends in England, which were not feigned, but true reports." Now that was from William Bradford. "Our corn did produce well, and God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn, and our barley indifferent good, but our peas not worth the gathering, for we feared they were too late sown. They came up very well and blossomed, but the sun parched them in the blossom. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent foreign men on fowling, that so we might after a more special manner rejoice together. After we had gathered the fruit of our labors, they foreign in one day killed as much fowl as with little help beside served the company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst verse, and among the rest their greatest king, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed upon our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time, with, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we offer, wish you partakers of our plenty. That was Edward Winslow. Now, a typical Thanksgiving at that time, or feast, would have been comprised of venison, wild fowl, wild turkeys, and Indian corn. Those were kind of the staples, which likely also included other food items known to have been aboard the Mayflower or available in Plymouth, such as spices, Dutch cheese, wild grapes, lobster, cod, native melons, pumpkin, and rabbit. Now, by the mid-17th century, the custom of autumnal Thanksgivings was established throughout New England. Observance of Thanksgiving festivals began to spread southward during the American Revolution, as the newly established Congress officially recognized the need to celebrate this holy day. The first Thanksgiving proclamation was issued by the Revolutionary Continental Congress on November 1, 1777. Authored by Sam Adams, it was one sentence of 360 words, which read, in part, "For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, together with penitent confession of their sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplications that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance. It is therefore recommended to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one heart and one voice the good people may express the grateful feeling of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, acknowledging with gratitude their obligations to Him for benefits received, to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Now, a proclamation of thanksgiving by the President of the United States. This is Abraham Lincoln's address on October 3rd, 1863, and passed by an act of Congress. "This year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful years and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than theretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continence of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to His tender care all those who have been become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it, as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union, in testimony whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Now that proclamation was repeated for the following 75 years by every subsequent president. The humble, grateful spirit attendant to those celebrations was expressed in such statements as this by Theodore Roosevelt, quote, "No people on earth have moral cause to be thankful than ours, and this is said reverently, in no spirit of boastfulness in our own strength, but with the gratitude to the giver of good who has blessed us," unquote. However, in 1939, Franklin D. Roosevelt moved Thanksgiving Day up 1 week earlier than had been tradition to appease merchants who wanted more time to feed the growing pre-Christmas consumer frenzy. Folding to congressional pressure 2 years later, Roosevelt signed a resolution returning Thanksgiving to the fourth Thursday of November, as Congress in 1941 permanently set the fourth Thursday of each November as our national day of Thanksgiving. Roosevelt's inclination to subsume Thanksgiving for commercial interests foretold much of the secular inversion of Thanksgiving to come. In autumns, we now exist amid the oppression of crass materialism in advance of that December day when we give thanks for the birth of Christ. Oppression vastly differently, but somehow remarkably similar to that experienced by our pilgrim forefathers in England. And at all times, we move amid the seduction of cultural decadence in our everyday lives, again, remarkably similar to that tempting our pilgrim forebears and their families in Holland. Nevertheless, for all the decay and dissolution is assailing us, we are still at our core a nation deeply blessed by God. In our age of great, widespread physical and material comfort and sensory satiety and satiation, our deepest deficits are spiritual ones. Most especially, a lack of accurate perception of the depth and breadth of the bounties that God alone has bestowed upon us. Too often we look to government as the provider and guarantor of the many blessings we enjoy, rather than to our Heavenly Father. And also too often, we forget to gratefully cherish the best of our national blessings, the liberty for which our pilgrim forebears were willing to risk all comfort and security. As Abraham Lincoln noted so many years ago, it is announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the American people. On this day of Thanksgiving, may God rest your heart and mind. May He bless and keep you. And let us always approach our Heavenly Father with true thankfulness, not just today, but every day, not only in our triumphs, but also in our trials. Our scripture for today comes from Psalm 107, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man, for He satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul He fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to their children of man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to yours. This concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Please visit us on our website, thecourageouslifepodcast.com. We'd appreciate any comments or questions that you have. And also like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.